Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on Pentecost Sunday. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. John and talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Catholic Engaged Encounter Weekends are an opportunity for couples preparing for marriage and couples married civilly for less than a year and seeking convalidation to concentrate exclusively on one another, free of tensions, pressures, and the distractions of daily life. These weekends are designed to give couples an opportunity to talk honestly and openly about their future together, to explore weaknesses, strengths, desires, ambitions, goals, education, money, children, family, relationships with God, and so much more. Married couples and a priest will present a series of ideas to be explored. Mass and confession are available as well. The next Engaged Encounter Weekend is set for June 15th and 16th at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center on Lantana. For complete details, call the Diocese Office of Family Life, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/family-life.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very good, Barbara, and yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you, and I think that we have a lot of school children that are happy because school, I think, is either finishing or will be finishing pretty soon.
Well, that is true, but I think the teachers are probably a little bit happier than the students. So
I think you're right.
Parents are up to a big task for the next few months, so yeah. We'll give the rest a little bit of a rest.
They are, I guess, almost the official start of summer for a lot of these children.
Right.
Well, our gospel this morning is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, this gospel reading is very similar to one we had a couple of weeks ago, you know, part and parcel where he said, you know, peace. He's offering the disciples the gift of peace, and he's commissioning them.
Right, and you know, the risen Lord, his presence, continuing with us, is always a gift of peace, and that's what the gift of faith and the calling of all of us to faith is really a call to find peace in the one God has sent to us, and the Holy Spirit certainly has that role to lead us to Christ and to help us to understand the mystery of Christ and ultimately then peace.
Mm-hmm. And so, of course, this being Pentecost Sunday, we're celebrating that fulfillment of Jesus' promise that the Father would send the Holy Spirit.
Right. And it's also, just so we all are aware, that this is the conclusion of the Easter season. So the central mystery of our faith, of the death, resurrection, ascension, and the coming of the Holy Spirit is now concluded. So the Easter candle in our churches will continue to be lit through the Mass, and at the end of Mass today, it will be extinguished and no longer lit until there's a funeral or another solemn celebration in the church. So just to to point those little things out, which are helpful for our symbolic understanding of what's going on.
Right, because there's always a question with the altar servers. Do we light the Easter candle?
Exactly. I've heard that question many, 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 many times.
I know, so have I.
Good.
But so we have that. So this was the 50 days. It's been 50 days between Easter and, and Pentecost Sunday.
Right, exactly. So I thought today it would be good maybe just to refer to our catechism quite a bit for some reflections today and the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church in each of our lives. And, you know, just this mysterious, many have called the Holy Spirit the unknown God, the mysterious God. Of course, certainly is the last to be revealed. The Father, of course, we've referred as God and God the Father of creation, the Father of so many things. And then, of course, the incarnation of sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, who then refers to the Father. And now the Son also referring to the advocate sent by the Father. So the Holy Spirit is the last.
Completes the Trinity.
Completes the Trinity. The last, but certainly not the least.
Right.
So this is something that we can also talk about next Sunday, the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and how they all work together. But I thought just in particular what the role of the Spirit is in each of our lives, in the lives of all the baptized, in the life of the world, really. And so referring to the Catechism, for those that want to go back later and look at these articles, I would refer them to number 683, where it says that, quote, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." And that is a quote from 1 Corinthians. And then continuing, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father," which is taken from Galatians. And so the Catechism explains this knowledge of faith is possible only in the Holy Spirit. To be in touch with Christ, we must first have been touched by the Holy Spirit. So to be in touch with Christ, to be in union with Christ, to know Christ is first to have been touched by the Holy Spirit. Continuing, he comes to meet us and enkindles faith in us. By virtue of our baptism, the first sacrament of faith, the Holy Spirit in the church communicates to us intimately and personally the life that originates in the Father and is offered to us in the Son. So already you have a Trinitarian note there. But I think that that's a very profound statement, just to speak about it a little bit. In order to be in touch with Christ, which of course is a broad statement and mission, to be in touch with Christ, which is saying much more than just knowing Christ, knowing about Christ, knowing that he existed, knowing what he did, knowing his miracles. That we can do by reading. Even by human reason, human knowledge, but the Catechism says to be in touch with Christ. For example, I mean, I might know that you're at your home or you're here in the city somewhere, but I'm not in touch with you until I call you, until we speak, or until we meet here in the studio to talk about these readings. So I'm not in touch, with you or any of our family members or anybody. And what's very profound here is that it says only when we have been touched by the Spirit, and that is explained through baptism, when we are incorporated into the body of Christ, can we be in touch with Christ. Because to be in touch with Christ means to have a relationship with him. Not a relationship of controversy or of antagonism or something, but to a relationship that is friendship.
And trust.
And trust. So to be a friend of Christ, to be a disciple of Christ, to follow Christ, to allow his words to make sense to us, we have to be touched by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I think many times we live in such a critical world. I often think of this when I hear a news report or some kind of a broadcast, and when they say to give us your opinion, please go to Twitter or whatever it is and Twitter us your opinion. And I think, you know, this is kind of sets into the psyche of people that we can have and that we should have an opinion about everything. And because it becomes part of our psyche and it's the way we're formed and framed culturally, that even when we hear the Word of God proclaimed in, for example, Mass today or at church today, we do it with, well, I'll listen to what they say, but I may have a comment or I may have a criticism or I may have an objection. And that type of approach to the Word of God can be counterproductive because there's a certain docility that we have to have in listening to the Word of God. And that's why it's so important that it is proclaimed clearly, it is proclaimed beautifully, and that we who proclaim the Word in the sense of explaining the Word of God through the homily are ourselves touched by the Holy Spirit. That, in other words, we have to pray for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. And we mentioned before we began with the gifts, with asking for wisdom, right. Asking for a spirit of reverence to what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. And so that's the environment that we should have every Sunday as we come to listen to the Word of God, is to ask for that gift of the Holy Spirit to help us through the Word and through the sacrifice of the Mass to be in touch with Christ. But that is the action of the Spirit.
Right.
To allow ourselves to be touched. And this is where the gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to truly operate in our life, that we ask for wisdom, that we ask for the strength to get beyond ourselves, perhaps, or to put aside, perhaps, something that's really, really weighing down on our hearts or minds, to put that aside, have the strength of the Holy Spirit to set that aside in order to hear, to receive the divine gift of God's Word, to receive the divine gift of His sacrifice in the Eucharist. This is an openness that only the Holy Spirit can really give us. Too often, as I say, I think we're so clouded by so much, and the fact that, you know, we can have, and I'm certainly not discounting the idea of having an opinion, but sometimes our opinions get in the way of listening to the Word of God with a docility. In other words, that God can speak to me. If I'm ready, you know, kind of like with my, to put it, I guess, in Western terms, if I'm there with my guns ready, you know, I'm not going to be very docile to listen to the words of God. But I have found this, I guess, just to say personally, you know, to go into preparation, like for giving a homily, and kind of reading over things, reading a few commentaries and saying, okay, well, I know what I'm going to say. Well, that's my plan. And getting into Mass, and this has happened many, many times, where as I'm listening to the readings during Mass, now I've already prepared, I've read them, I know what we're about, where we're doing, but I listen to that Word, and it's so powerful. It's like, no, talk about this, you know.
And it's the Holy Spirit.
I've had a few times where I've heard a couple of priests say this, everything just changes. I mean, it's not what I want this Sunday. And certainly we have to be prepared even for that. But right. What I'm saying is, you know, there's a certain disarming gift that the Holy Spirit gives us so that we can listen. And so I think this paragraph 683 that I just pointed to is something maybe for all of us to take and meditate upon, that we can't be in touch with Christ unless we are touched by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who relates us to Jesus Christ, the one who reminds us and who leads us to His truth.
We're taking a short break, and when we return, we will continue talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Put a gold star on your calendar for Saturday, June 8th. That's the day for the Catholic Daughters of America, Father Tom Berglar's Court's huge rummage sale. The place is the St. Teresa Parish Hall, 1302 Lantana. In addition to great bargains on all items, there'll be fresh baked goodies also for sale. Proceeds will be used for scholarships for high school students to continue their educations. If you'd like more information or want to donate items for the sale, call 289-2759.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, you were talking about how when you've prepared for your homily, but as you'll be listening to the readings beforehand, sometimes you may change your homily a little bit because the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, of course, has come to you and said mm-hmm. you need to talk about something else. Mm-hmm. But it's so critical for us as parishioners sitting in church to really pay attention to what the priest is saying, because we can listen to these readings and read along with the readings, but there could be a lot of questions in mm-hmm. our mind. And so we're really right. dependent on you all to help lead us through right. so that we know how to live out the next week and the next right. several months based on those words.
Sure, and I think that's certainly a valid point, but we also have to realize that even we, as priests, as a bishop, you know, we read the reading, because we have three readings. We always want to mm-hmm. start with the context of the Old Testament or the Jewish scriptures, you know, where mm-hmm. Jesus came out of and where he came from. And then I always say, like, to skip, we go to the gospel and read what Jesus said. And then also back to St. Paul or one of the epistles, which is really kind of the practical application. So I think there's a progression there. Maybe to help people who prepare themselves in the readings is to read the first reading first, then the gospel, and then the second reading, because mm-hmm. it's like St. Paul's application. It's also kind of his chronologically more in order, mm-hmm. although we give the emphasis to the gospel at the end. So, right. But anyway, we can't cover it all.
No.
And certainly there's a theme that runs through all three readings with the psalm as well. And the prayers. I mean, sometimes I've developed a homily around a prayer, one of the mm-hmm. prayers of the Mass. So, but it takes time. But so if a person comes in and saying, okay, I need to be taught about this, well, you know, that's fine, but you're designating, I want to hear about this. But you can't fit it all in right. 10 minutes or what the time that we give to a homily. So it's incumbent upon us as well to take it home. Mm-hmm. If we really want to do that or do it in a Bible study, and to take that point that we really want or curious about, but during the homily or during the Mass is to not focus on what I want to know, because God may be speaking over here.
Right.
So, you know, this is the term docility, to be docile, to be kind of disarmed by the moment and listen. But I also want to point out, you know, that this can happen in front of a little child.
True.
And I've had, I'm sure I've told the story of it's too long to tell now, of really being in a very difficult state of mind in the sense that I was struggling with a lot of things in the parish that I was in. And then a little kid says something to me during Mass, which just totally disarmed me. But it was, you know, it was one of those moments of the Holy Spirit. You know, you're just listening.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Out of the mouths of babes, something happens. So we have to be prepared. And this is the beauty of the life in the Spirit, that we're always ready and always expecting docilely, you know, with docility, to have God somehow reach into our minds and mm-hmm. hearts. But that's because we are trying to live in the Spirit, to be touched by the Spirit in order to be in touch with Christ and His will, God's will for us. So it's such a dynamic mm-hmm. life. But again, it's the Spirit that leads us to understand that this is our life. You know, to many, this may be an absurdity. You know, like I'm in charge of my own life personally, etc. Sure, I mean, I have a free will. I don't have to live this way, but I want to live this way because I personally, and I'm speaking for myself, because personally I've seen the fruits of living this way. There are very, very dark days in our lives, you know. I mean, just mm-hmm. because of silly little things that happen the day before that we carry with us, we get up late, we get, you know, we can't sleep at night, we're down, da 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 da, all these things happen. But there's a certain point where we have to surrender all of that. And that's part of being touched by the Spirit. It's like, surrender yourself to me.
Right.
And that takes free will. Because I can say, no, I'm going to do it myself. Mm-hmm. But the beauty is that after that surrender, that moment of surrender, as Christ did on the cross, what happens is this unleash of the fruits of the Spirit, which are joy and peace and faith and generosity and kindness and gentleness and all the, you know, and so out of a dark moment comes this new life. But that's because we are touched by, and we allow ourselves to be touched by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, I didn't even expect to say all this today, so you can see hopefully with us sitting here that there's a moment that maybe this is what we needed to talk about.
Well, we did, and it's the openness. I think all of us, or most of us, can relate back to an experience where you are visiting with somebody and you said, that was the Holy Spirit
right.
just talking to me,
right.
or that was
right.
the Holy Spirit yeah. in my life, and it's such a beautiful thing.
And it's a risk. I mean, it's always a risk to give up the controls, to allow God in some way, the Holy Spirit, to enter in and change our mentality. I mean, the beauty of the Holy Spirit is that the presence of the Spirit is a transforming Spirit, the advocate and the guide that Jesus sent to us. One of the things that I'd like to, you know, continue with as we reflect on this is something that continues in the Catechism in number 687, where, and I just found this very beautiful, preparing for this and reviewing, where it says, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So, you know, people that, well, I'm going to try to understand God, I'm going to try to understand who He is, et cetera, and, you know, through my personal knowledge. Well, no one can penetrate into God except the Spirit that comes, is God Himself and is given to us. And so even trying to study, I'm referring here to catechism or even picking up the catechism, I have to really depend on the knowledge that comes from the Spirit, because I can just read these words. I mean, even the first time I read the paragraph that I read earlier about being in touch with Christ is having been touched by. I mean, you can read that, and it just didn't catch me. Until I went, okay, now how am I going to prepare, you know, in these final moments for our broadcast? I go back, oh my gosh, in touch, touched by. You know, we need this kind of these lights to come on, and that's asking for His gift of knowledge so that we can understand. But the point I want to make in this number 687 is where it says that that the Spirit reveals God and makes known to us Christ, His Word, His living utterance, but the Spirit does not speak of Himself. Mm-hmm. When you think about right. the many times that we've seen the references to the Holy Spirit is never about Himself. Jesus Himself did not say He will not be speaking on His own. He'll be speaking what He has been given. So the Spirit reveals God to us, and He helps to enlighten what Jesus did and said. But the Spirit does not speak of Himself.
That's true.
And you know, this is when we are also trying to live the Christian life. You know, our life should be about revealing God to others and revealing Jesus Christ in our life, but not speaking about ourselves. Now, we can, you know, as I do, as we all do, speak of an experience that we have had that's very personal to me or to you, whatever. But it's not revealing it's not trying to point to myself. And so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of humility, is the Spirit of self-gift. Pointing to the Father, unveiling who Christ is and what Christ has done for us, but not speaking on His own or about Himself. And this is the Spirit, and this is what Pentecost is all about. When Christ gave up His Spirit, which was on the cross, He bowed His head and gave up, because Christ lived by the Spirit too. I mean, it was the Spirit that was His Spirit living in Him. He offered that to us. He gave it up by bowing His head and offering it up through His suffering. And then, of course, sent that Spirit, gave it, but then sent it at Pentecost, which is what we are celebrating today, so that we could live this life, the life of Christ. And we can't do it without the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting as you had read when we say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is mentioned last, but it's not least. I mean, we've got to have that before we can hear, understand God.
And we'll talk a little bit about that next week when we talk about the Holy Trinity, you know, that this is the inner life of God. But you know, in time, as revelation has happened, it's a progression of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All one God, and we'll talk about the consubstantial element.
Right.
And we'll get a little more deep next week, but speaking about those things. One last thing before our time is up here I do want to refer to is the next paragraph, 688, in which the Catechism speaks to us of where do we encounter the Spirit? Where, you know, we certainly don't see, touch, smell, whatever, but where is? And I love the list that's there, and it's a very, it says, in the Scriptures he is inspired. It was the Scripture, the Spirit that inspired the Scriptures through the writers of Scripture. Right. So opening the Scriptures, and with that, again, that docility, we encounter the Spirit. We also encounter the Spirit in the tradition of the Church, the fathers of the Church. What beautiful writings in the early pastors of the Church that are recognized under the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, in the Church's magisterium. So many times people, again, debate, but the Church teaches. It's under the guidance of the Scripture, the tradition, and continues that line of teaching under the gift of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly is in the sacramental liturgy, through the words and the symbols, and the Holy Spirit puts us into communion with Christ through the sacrament of penance. You know, it's the Spirit working there, the Spirit of Christ, of the Holy Spirit in the Eucharist, transforming bread and wine. It's the work of the Spirit. Also in prayer, it's the Spirit that intercedes and uses words we don't have, or reveals to us what we don't know that we need, but it's the Spirit working if we're open to that. In the charisms and the ministries of the Church, I mean, the Franciscans, the Dominicans, the Sisters of Adoration of the Holy Spirit, and all the care of the Incarnate Word, and all the sisters that we have here, and the priests, these are charisms of the Holy Spirit that are given to the Church. Also, the apostolic ministry and the mission of the Church is all inspired, and the structure of the Church is from the Holy Spirit. And finally, the witness of saints and the holiness that we see in our families, our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, people from the past, that we also in our South Texas Catholic, we've seen so many wonderful stories of great people and saints. Mm-hmm. This holiness of the Church is all the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's everywhere in our life and in our church, and we should be grateful today on Pentecost Sunday for the Spirit's presence.
And if our listeners want to review that list, it's in the Catechism, and it's paragraph 688.
Correct.
So thank you, Bishop. So if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, who by the mystery of today's great feast sanctify your whole church in every people and nation, pour out, we pray, the gifts of the Holy Spirit across the face of the earth. And with the divine grace that is at work when the gospel was first proclaimed, fill now once more the hearts of your believers. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.